हरे कृष्ण। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे
Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare.
Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Hare
जय गोरंगा
जय गोरंगा जय नित्य गोरंगा
हरि बोल हरि बोल हरि बोल नित्य गौरा हरि बोल
हरि बोल हरि बोल
हरि बोल नित्य गौरा हरि बोल
కలియుగ పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తనకి
జయ
అనంత కోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి
జయ
ఓం అజ్ఞాన తిమిరందస్య జ్ఞానాంజన శలాకయ చక్షుఃవన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః నమావోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపా సింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. వి వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ టు ద బిహేవియరల్ సైన్స్ ఫర్ యూత్ సెషన్ దిస్ ఈవినింగ్. ద టాపిక్ ఫర్ టుడే ఈజ్ లాజికల్ లాస్ ఆఫ్ లీనియంట్ లార్డ్. యూ కెన్ టెల్ దెమ్ టు రిడ్యూస్ వాల్యూమ్. I will first explain the meaning of the title and then we proceed ahead inside, okay? In this world, when people suffer in this age of Kali Yuga, oftentimes one of the first things they do is to blame God for their sufferings. And people oftentimes assume themselves innocent and think, how can sufferings come upon us? So therefore, I felt it's very important for us to know how God has made this world in a very logical way. There are logical laws in this world. Whatever happens, it has a very great and grand plan, and it is all perfect. There can't be any flaw in his law. In man-made laws, there can be flaws. In man-made laws, there can be flaw. But in God-made law, there is no flaw. I can tell you a couple of examples, it will make it clear for you. Like once in one of the IITs, it was found that the students are committing suicide by hanging themselves in the fan in their own room. So then the college had a meeting, board meeting, where they decided that, oh, suicide after suicide, 2-3 times it has happened. So let us avoid it by replacing the fans with air conditioners. Looks like a very great idea. Do you think by changing the fans to air conditioners, suicides will stop? They will find another alternative way out, to hang in the trees, or the tree branch. So, sometimes man's solutions may be like this. To stop a problem, he may come up with a temporary stopgap solution. Like at one time, in the US courts as well as in Indian courts, there was a talk about till what number of months a child can be aborted in the womb of the mother. In some countries it was thought up to 6th month we can abort. In some countries it was thought up to 3rd month. But then they found doctors have, one doctor has recorded the sound of a child, a screaming child, which is at a very short time, within a month or two, of the child being in the womb. Then the doctor said, actually, even aborting a child in 2 months also is terrible. It's actually murder. But actually the Vedas have no doubt about this. The Vedas clearly say that when man and woman unite, and the semen breaks the egg in the woman's womb, embryo, and then it emulsifies. Since that time, the conception happens. There is life, because Atma has entered through the semen, from the man's body into the woman's body. Life is there from that time. So, unless a mother's life is in danger, the child is never aborted, actually. So, it is considered murder, because there are three stages in abortion where they, crush the skull, remove the brain, they slice it, and they emulsify and bring it out. It's a very sinful thing. So, many countries were not aware of the sin that one incurs by abortion. So, they thought if a boy and girl comes together, there is no problem. They can just abort when the child comes out. So, man-made laws keep changing. At one time, the court said, up to 7 months you can abort, up to 5 months you can abort, up to 3 months, up to 2 months. Now they are slowly understanding there is conception right at the time of man-woman union. Since the time the life is there, in the womb of the mother, unkilling it is actually like murder. So, man-made laws keep changing. One law today, another law tomorrow. That keeps changing. And also it varies from country to country. Like for example, we may say in India you keep your car on the left, in America you keep on the right. So in this way, different countries may have different laws. But the God's laws, which are made by God, are completely foolproof and they are all perfect. And actually any law that man makes should be subordinate to God's law, ideally speaking. That's another big subject, another time we can talk about it. But the point is, we will show here, in the first part, how his laws are all perfect. Nobody can blame him that you are giving unnecessary sufferings to me or unnecessarily you are gifting somebody. One can't say that. Like here you see, this is one of the Bhagavatam purports here. Punishment implies reward also. A powerful man who can punish is also able to reward. If people say God is punishing us in this world by giving sufferings, that should also imply reward. If there is a day, there should be night. Isn't it? If something is sweet, there should be something bitter. If in the same manner, if there is pain, there should be pleasure. So, the punishment also should imply a reward. Therefore, the existence of punishment for the living being, who is forced to take a miserable material body subject to death, birth, death, old age and disease, also logically implies the existence of a reward for him. Like you see here, everybody wants to be young, hale and healthy, but they eventually get old, weak and frail. Similarly, after death, one takes another body and the cycle of birth and death keeps going on. So we are suffering. Is there a reward? Please read it. Who has a mic?
Although we mistakenly consider material sense gratification the ultimate reward of life, material happiness is actually another type of punishment, since it entices one to continue rotating in the cycle of birth and death.
Yeah. So one should not think, oh, okay, we are suffering from old age, disease, death. But there is also a reward kept. What is it? Sense gratification. Sense gratification means eating nice food and enjoying the senses, all the five senses. Watching movies with the eyes and hearing some rock music through the ears. This is a reward, one may think. But this is not the reward. Why? Because in this world, the sense gratification is also synonym for suffering. The more one tries to gratify one's senses, the more one suffers. Like you see in the picture here, the boy is sitting in a sofa and all the five senses are dragging him in different directions. And he has become a slave to the five senses. They are pulling him in different directions. So one has to be a Goswami, otherwise one will become Godas. So therefore you will find that youngsters especially, they become victimized by all these things. It's very obvious to understand this. Who can get a practical experience of it? People who are not devotees. Those who are devotees are woken up. They can see that the senses are cheating us. They are dragging us in wrong directions. But those who are not devotees, they are terribly suffering. We can see that. Now I will show you some of the slides will become clear to you. Read that.
In the Western countries, violent prisoners are placed in solitary confinements, whereas well-behaved prisoners are sometimes allowed to work in the warden's garden or library as a reward. But any position in prison is ultimately a punishment.
Say, for example, if somebody is a violent prisoner, he is kept in C-class jail. And somebody is a refined prisoner, he has been in the jail for a while, he has become reformed, now he is a better person, he is put in an A-class jail. Similarly, in this world you will see, if somebody becomes a good human being and he does some punya, then he is sent to heaven, A-class jail. And if somebody is doing terrible criminal activities, raping, killing, looting, then they behave in barbaric ways, then they may be sent to hellish planets, which is like C-class jail. So C-class jail is hell, B-class jail is earth, and A-class jail is heaven. But all these A, B, C, all the three jails are within the Brahmanda universe only. So people are going down, coming up again in this way. So he's saying that any position in the prison is ultimately a punishment. Because whether even in heaven you have to take birth and death. In hell also again birth and death. So one is still in the cycle of birth and death. So there is suffering. So therefore, this is not a reward of going to heaven. Actually, the spiritual world is beyond heaven and hell. Beyond this one small universe, there are millions of universes. Beyond them, there is Paravyoma, or spiritual sky, where there are Vaikuntha planets and spiritual world. So when one goes there, then one never comes back to this world. Till then, heaven and hell is ultimately keeping us away, deprived of that ultimate goal.
Similarly, the existence of higher and lower categories of material sense gratification does not explain the living entity's ultimate reward, which must constitute the natural antithesis of punishment of material existence.
Yeah. Like for example, there you see that there are higher and lower categories in this world. Look at this fellow. There's a shower of currency notes he's enjoying. On the other hand, look at those children, they are very poverty stricken. In this world you find both. Similarly, somebody is having good looks and somebody else has ugly look in this world. But this cannot be considered reward. The reason is why? Because this body will not remain like this forever. A beautiful body will not remain beautiful. A wealthy man is not going to remain wealthy. Because people are born with empty hands. Like Alexander rightly said, when they die, they leave everything and, leave the bodies. What to speak of leaving the wealth behind or building behind, car behind. One leaves the money also behind, bank balance behind, and then one goes with empty hand to the graveyard. So therefore, this cannot be considered reward. Having a handsome body or having a lot of money, having a big bungalow, this cannot be considered very great, reward. Yeah, the actual reward is what?
That actual reward is an eternal life of bliss and knowledge in the kingdom of God, where there is no punishment. The kingdom of God is Vaikuntha or unconditional pleasure. There is no punishment in the spiritual world. It is a place of ever-increasing pleasure.
And that is actual reward. Now you will see one interesting observation you all will make. Read this.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead has so dexterously formulated and applied the laws of material nature governing punishment and reward for human behavior that the living being is discouraged from sin and encouraged towards goodness without suffering any significant interference with his free will as an eternal soul.
Very important point. It's a purport from Srimad Bhagavatam. That means you will see this world is so designed by God that when you do wrong thing, we are punished. So that we don't continue doing the same wrong thing over and over again. For example, I'm sitting here. If there is a fire right next to me, I put my hand. Immediately there is a sensitivity to the heat. I'll take my hand. Why God has made that arrangement? So that if I touch fire, that sensitivity helps me to protect my hand. Otherwise, while talking to all of you, I just put my hand very casually and all the hand gets burned in the fire without any pinch or pain. Suddenly I turn and see my hand is only this much, isn't it? So he has arranged that mechanism of reflex taking away the heat. In order for us to not allow the hand to get consumed, it is God's arrangement. So kind He is. Similarly, go to a hill and from the top go to the tip of the mountain and then peep from there. Like that you see from there, you will feel some fear, some uneasiness. You feel not to go to the edge of a mountain. So there is some fear. Maybe I may slip and fall. If I fall, I'll be, you know, finished. So I'll be dead. So there's a fear. That kind of, why He has kept the fear principle in our mind? If that fear is not there, if I just go at the edge and I don't feel any fear, I just go a little ahead and I'll fall. And imagine after I broke all my hands and legs and bones, everything, then if I fear, what are the use? So God has kept inbuilt fear in us. So in this way, the whole world is made in such a mechanism that we are discouraged from doing the wrong thing. So jumping off is the wrong thing. So we are discouraged from the wrong thing by fear principle. Similarly, touching fire and consuming the hand is the wrong thing. Because hand should not be dissolved in the fire. It's supposed to be used for fruitful work. So therefore that fire, the heat is kept like this. In the same manner, you will also see that anybody does any wrong thing, they are immediately discouraged. I will show you in the next few slides. But in this slide, what I am showing you is we are encouraged towards goodness. Like here you see these people are doing yoga. And here the teacher, he has a healthy body. Because those who do yoga, they get a very healthy body. Even after they become 60 or 70, they look like young boy or young girl. Isn't it? When they do yoga. Surya Namaskar, you know, and all those kinds of things which they do, different type of exercises which are given by in the Patanjali Yoga Sutra. So you find that the Shastras teach us that eat vegetarian food offered to God and do yoga, exercise, keep your body very hale and healthy. So you follow those principles given in the scriptures, you keep a very healthy body. Earlier it was only done in India. All over the world people were ignorant about it. And they didn't know what is this yoga. But now all over the world it has spread like wildfire. In fact, abroad it has a much bigger market than India also. Because people have understood, if you do the right thing for the body, you get healthier. Similarly, pranayam. You become very healthy and you become youthful by pranayam. In the same manner, through bhakti yoga, you awaken love. This is a preface that George wrote for our Krishna book. All you need is love, he said. And then in brackets he writes Krishna. That means if you cultivate Krishna consciousness, you awaken love and that love is very healthy for you. So these are examples of things. You do the right thing, you get healthier. You become happier. You live longer. And in this way, the material world is designed in such a way that by doing the right thing, you get reward of, you know, happiness. And by doing the wrong thing, you know, you will see, as you see here. Okay, some more are there. So, as you saw now, for those who are living a life of goodness and devotion to God, you can see that Lord says that I am the swift deliverer of the devotees from the ocean of birth and death. He delivered Gajendra. He has delivered many. Prahlad, Ajamila, Dhruva, many. Tukaram, many like that. In the same manner, all of us also, by leading a life in accordance with teachings in the Gita, by living a life of goodness, you go back to Him in alignment with His teachings. And by not aligning with Lord's teachings and then doing sinful activities, because we are going in the wrong direction, the world is designed in such a way that it discourages from going in the wrong direction. For example, say you are sitting in the class. Why has your parents put you? Why have your parents put you in a school or a college? So that you go to the school, you study the subjects, learn from the teachers well, and progress in your academics, and then get a good degree, and then get well situated in life. But imagine somebody is going to school and is doing mischief there. He is doing mischief in the class, you know, quarreling with other students, or fighting with the teacher. So then that has to be discouraged. no school will continue encouraging a person doing mischievous activity. Imagine if a student is looting from mother's pockets, is misbehaving with somebody, is beating, catching collar and things like that. Then the school management takes some action because the person is hurting himself and hurting others. Same thing with God also. When God sees some living being, one of the millions of thousands of living beings, he is actually not living peacefully. He is hurting others and hurting himself. So then God has to make an arrangement to set right the situation so that all living beings can do their homework and, you know, return back to God from where they originally come from. Isn't it? So therefore, then the punishments are given. Like, once a person goes to spiritual world, you can see the life is very blissful. There are various relationships. There is shantras, silently, the trees, the plants, the cows and calves, they serve Krishna in the Goloka, spiritual world. How beautiful is the place, you see. You see, then there are friends of Krishna, Krishna, Balram and covered boys all dancing with Krishna. It's eternal life there. Then there is Vatsalarasa, elderly gopis, all friends of Yashoda with baby Krishna. They have pastime also. He is like their own child. They find Krishna so dear. Similarly, then there is a Madhuri Rasa, the gopis of Vrindavan, Herod Vishwamitra Radharani. So these are going on eternally in the spiritual world. And there is everlasting, boundless bliss there. So this is the ultimate reward for all the devotees who are faithfully following the laws of God given in the scriptures in this world. And those who don't follow, those who break the laws, they are discouraged. Like here you see, this fellow is drinking alcohol. And these are the bad effects. Why these bad effects are given? So that he will not go in the wrong direction anymore. So there are many. I just gave one or two here. You can go to Google, you will find many more bad effects. Do you think people are not aware of it? Educated people know all these things, but they are uncontrollably going in the wrong direction, hurting themselves. They know it is harmful. It affects the heart, hampers sleep, liver disease, one gets obesity, immunity is weakened, damages the brain, all these dangerous things of alcohol. Similarly, you see this one, the bottom one is the tobacco chewing. How I saw one meaningful billboard which said, Jing Kshanachi Vat Maranachi. The meaning is, for a small kick, one eats tobacco in the mouth, youthful people, but then that paves the road to death. Like, not only the teeth becomes like this, a lot of ulcers come in the mouth because of eating tobacco. Tobacco is such a stinking crop that, you know, you don't need a scarecrow to drive away other birds or animals. Nobody will go there except human being. It's such a stinking thing. It's a very harmful thing. One boy asked Prabhupada, Swamiji, God has created tobacco. That means God wants us to eat tobacco. Otherwise, why did he create in the first place? Prabhupada said, God has also created Datura poison plant. Do you eat Datura poison plant? The boy said, no, Swamiji, if I eat Datura, I will die. And Prabhupada said, so you have the ability to do discrimination, Viveka Buddhi, what is edible, what is not edible. Datura poison is not edible, you don't eat it. Similarly, one should avoid tobacco by knowing its harmful effects. So God has given you Buddhi, intelligence, by which you can discriminate what should be done, what should not be done. And you study the Shastra, you know it, and you have to follow it. Otherwise, one will smoke and create all kinds of, terrible situation for oneself, even in this very life. Similarly, here you find somebody stealing, looting somebody and running away, and naturally he'll be caught by the police and he'll be arrested. The prarabdha karma will come. Similarly, a man is illegally uniting with different men, the womanizer. He is having affairs with so many different women that eventually he gets terrible diseases like AIDS. There are more than 25 diseases people get, and they suffer. Which means, you know, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. As you sow, so shall you reap. So by seeing these things, you get an idea that there is punishment for every wrongdoing. So till now what I have spoken, we have two very important points we have covered till now. The first point was this, that God's laws are logical. They are never illogical. How do you know that? You see that, you do good, you get good. You do bad, you get bad. Like for example, you are doing yogasanas, you are doing pranayama, you are doing meditation. Then you get a healthy body, healthy mind. You eat vegetarian food, you have a healthy body. But you eat all kinds of abominable things, then one suffers. So in this way, we're doing good, we get good. And by indulging in bad habits like this, why we suffer? Because that suffering indicates that we are going in the wrong direction. Just like in a computer, you have a foolproof mechanism, right? Like you put a USB stick in one way, it goes inside. If you put it the other way, will it go? Will it go? Only one way only it goes. Why? Because this foolproofing is done. Similarly, you go in the right path, you get healthier, happier, more nice. And you go in the wrong path, to stop you from doing wrong, punishments are kept. Exactly like, somebody follows the state law. Say, you keep the car on the left side, and you also follow the speed limit given in the road, and you follow the traffic laws, then no police will interfere with you. Because you are following the speed limit, you are following the signal, you are following the state law, everything. But if somebody says, I will break the red signal, and I will drive on the right side, and even if it is a one-way road, I will drive on both sides, nobody can stop me, then he has to be put in the jail, or he has to be fined, at least, for his wrong behavior. If the erratic behavior is not rectified, he is going to create a havoc. There will be accidents for others and for himself. Similarly, God says, when somebody is going on the wrong path, they have to be rectified. Therefore, the punishments are kept. So the punishments are meant for reform. In fact, one student was asking, previous life also I got punishments, how will I remember all of that? Because, what is the use of punishment for me? Because now I am Atma, I left the previous body, I have come to new body now. No, the previous life punishment has given you a maturity which goes with the mind. The mind, intelligence, ego carries the soul with that covering of man, buddhi, ahankar, it goes into the next body. So therefore you will see some small children, they have never touched a cigarette. They have never touched a bottle of liquor. They will not even touch it. They will say it's sinful. Because in the previous life they have done wrong things and they have got good beating. They learned a good lesson. And they will not do it in the future lives because the maturity has come now. So therefore, either we can hear from Shastras and learn the right thing and follow it, or we have to experience it and get kicks and then learn like that. We come to the right path. But those who come to the right path, for them that's the reward. What is the reward in this world? Sense gratification is not the reward, because sense gratification also leads to burning, leads to suffering in this world. So therefore, then what is the reward? The reward is returning back home, back to Godhead. So I showed you the pictures for those who are becoming devotees of the Lord. Lord takes them back home, back to Godhead, where there is permanent happiness, oceanic happiness, boundless happiness, that one gets. Now, in this world, everybody wants happiness here. They are not ready to do the homework and go to the spiritual world. You will see, at all levels, I told you yesterday also, the Lord has provided us happiness. For example, at a physical level, He has provided us, you will see that, here, just like we all wear a dress, similarly, Atma is also given a dress, the material body. He has given us a body for the Atma to reside in this world. And also, for the material body, he needs, he has arranged everything. Yesterday we discussed, he is arranging the rain shower, he is arranging the sunlight, he is giving us air to breathe, grains to eat and all that. So he knows that human beings don't want to eat ordinary food, so he is arranging for very nice 6 type of juices, sweet, sour, salt, pungent, astringent, bitter, 6 types of tastes. Not only he has created the grains, he has created the fruits, he has created the cereals, he has created the spices like elaichi or cardamom or turmeric or like you have hing, Astrodif oil, we call it. There are many spices like that which actually add flavor to the food. God knows my children want to eat very tasty foods. So He's arranged those things for us too. And in case we would overeat and suffer from indigestion or something, He has also arranged for medicinal herbs, jadi buti, by eating which we can easily get digestion. So many things He has provided. So that's all for physical. And not only that, physical means roti, kapda, makan, three things. Food, clothing, shelter. That is physical. He has arranged for food. And clothing is the material body He has given us to live. And shelter is the house. So like we are, He has given us the intelligence by which you can build our house. And every bird, every animal knows how to build the house. You know, there is a weaver, beaver which makes proper house to live. There's a weaver bird which makes a beautiful house also, like this. You see, the birds are making nests. The honey bees are making their honeycomb. So in this way, He has provided us all the physical requirements. Then mentally, you see, He is so kind. Mental and emotional, we all require somebody to, you know, care for us, love us, feel ourselves secure and safe and protected and wanted and loved. We need to receive love and we need to show love. For all these things, He has so kindly arranged. How? Like you will see, any creature is born in this world. Have you seen a small puppy dog? It looks very cute. Similarly, small cat, small kitten. Or you will see a small elephant. You all have seen how beautiful the elephant looks. Very tender and very beautiful. Similarly, small newborn babies, their body is very pinkish and their fingers are like flower. So therefore, they get a lot of love from everybody. Because the very look of the newborn ones is so tender and beautiful. So they get abundant love from everybody and they need that love at that time. So it is Krishna's arrangement that He has arranged for that love for everybody. Similarly, when you get very, very old, somebody is 80 years, 90 years, then they also again become like child. They need support. So Krishna has made this world in such a way that the children, they grow up and then they take care of their parents. There is a bond created between the two. So in this way, He has created a world of mutual dependence. Like we give oxygen, we give carbon dioxide to the plants and plants give us oxygen. You can see that. Similarly, children depend on parents, parents depend on children. Similarly, you will see that sunflower for cross-pollination and reproduction. You know, although it has a beautiful flower, it has no honeybee. It has no honey to taste. Still, He has given the beauty. Why? So that the honeybee will come and sit, take the pollen and you know, put it in another flower and then it can reproduce. He has arranged for this in this way. And in this way, you will see, you know, when the lion eats the flesh, some flesh sticks in the tooth. So God has arranged a small bird to help the lion to remove that pieces. So lion will never eat the bird because the bird is helping him to remove the pieces of flesh. So this is a mutual dependence He has created in this world. So that we all can mutually support each other. In a family, father supports, mother supports the family. In a school, the principal and teacher support the children. In the same manner, He has arranged the whole amazing creation for getting that emotional support. Love and support and security and everything. And similarly, on an intellectual level, He knows that my children have come to this world and they want to do something with their intelligence. But all the jivas don't want to become a devotee of God. They want to use their intelligence for something else. Okay. He says there are so many subjects. There is engineering, there is medical, there is chartered accountancy, and there is commerce. And there are so many, 64 kalas are there. So one can actually utilize one's intelligence to, you know, if somebody doesn't want to go back to God, they want to continue in this world, for them also some engagement activity has kept for them. If they are, because after many lifetimes, one will turn to God asking about the meaning and purpose of this universe and purpose of life. So, and for those who are intelligent, they come to the spiritual platform. For them, He has given Bhagavad Gita, like Bible, Quran, all the scriptures are given, Srimad Bhagavatam. And He has also, you know, arranged for temples and the deities, the holy rivers, that Divya Desams, holy places, and holy devotees, holy name, holy prasad, everything. So yesterday I told about it a little bit. So at all these levels he is giving us support. How kind he is. And then when we utilize our spiritual facilities, which I told you now, and then practice Krishna consciousness, there is a big success that awaits every one of you, which is he takes us back to his abode and engages us in his eternal seva. In the spiritual world, there all water is honey, and everybody, whatever, nobody speaks there, everybody sings there, everybody dances there. So I showed you some other part of spiritual world pictures now. In this way, you know, people generally think, you know, sadhus or yogis means they don't aspire for happiness. Poor fellows, they have given up the society and they have become monks or something. Actually, you don't know. The yogi means they don't go for petty pleasures. Like if you see physical, these are the physical pleasures that people long for, isn't it? Okay, you drink this tea and eat this biscuit, how long will it last? Few moments in the mouth, that's all. After that, it's finished. Or mental pressure, somebody is playing violin, somebody is doing piano, somebody is doing artistry, somebody is reading some love letter. But all these things will last for a few months, singing some cinema music. Okay, intellectual, you make a chess move and then you checkmate somebody, that pleasure may last for a few years, that I am a very smart chess player or something. Then beyond intellectual, you can have egoistic pressure. I am the first one to place the flag in Mount Everest, like Hillary did. Okay, you are the first one to design the supercomputer or to place the flag in the mountain. You may be very great, but how long will that joy last? After, even if it lasts for the whole life in this life, at the time of death, when one leaves the body and goes next body, you'll forget it, what you did in previous life. It's not going to come. Therefore, the spiritual pleasure is the only one which will go with the soul beyond death. That is everlasting pleasure. Because Atma is imperishable. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Nainam chindanti shastrani nainam dahati pavakaha Nachainam klede yantyapo nashoshayati marutaha. He says, Arjuna, the soul cannot be cut to pieces. The soul cannot be burnt. The soul cannot be dried. The soul cannot be moistened. He says that. These are the physical and chemical characteristics. The person, soul is a personality. And that personality is Sachidananda. He is a Chinmaya Sharir. Just like imagine if there is a beam of light here, you take a sword and pass through it. It cannot cut the light now. Similarly, soul is also a spiritual body. Even if a sword goes through it, nothing will happen to soul. And all of us are such spirit souls. But we are trapped in this body like a bird trapped in a cage. So therefore, spiritual practice means what? That which helps the bird to become free from the cage and fly in the free sky. Similarly, we have to become free from this bodily cage and go back to Godhead. That's the goal of spiritual practices. Nowadays, in the name of spiritual, a lot of other wrong things are going on. There are many people who think spiritual means just be good, do good, be kind, don't harm others, that's all. They think that is spiritual. That is like a person who is going in his car, and whenever there is red signal, he stops. When there is green signal, he goes. And in India, he keeps on left. In America, he keeps on right. Very carefully follows all the rules. He is doing good, being good. It doesn't hurt anybody. You ask him, sir, where are you going? He says, that I don't know. He has no goal of life. Just keeps going round and round. And he will never get anywhere, you see. So, therefore, one should know the goal of life. Just like you play games. If you are playing a football, there has to be a goal post. Otherwise, what's the meaning of playing a football? Similarly, if you are leading a life, there has to be a goal in the life. So the goal of spiritual life is to go back home, back to Godhead, and engage in eternal service to the Lord. So such people, once you go there, how long do you think the pleasure lasts? For all time to come, yadgatva nivartante, Krishna says, taddhama paramamama, once you come back to my abode, you never fall back to this material world, he says. So, but if we don't go back there, in this world there are terrible problems. We have to be put in the womb of some mother. And you can imagine how horrible our situation was inside the mother's womb. Then after death, only this remains. Probably they can keep the skeleton in the anatomical laboratory. This is what remains after burning the body. And this is, we all know how we scream, how we suffer. And in old age also, people suffer various sicknesses, diseases. So, material happiness, the beginning it looks like high, and it goes down exponentially, you see. As time passes, body gets older, senses become feeble, mind becomes very troublesome, and then the death comes, disease comes. So, the happiness goes down, 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 but spiritual happiness, in the beginning, chanting Hare Krishna, reading Bhagavad Gita, stopping all the wrong doings and all, for that, therefore there appears to be a little pain in the beginning. But then eventually it leads to everlasting happiness for all time to come. And then why in this world we can't be just happy? What is the need of practicing spiritual life? God has created this world. Some people say, you should accept this gift that God has given. Just be happy in this world. Whatever He has given, take it and be happy. But these are the three problems. In this world, all the objects are changeable and perishable. Like for example, we all are attracted to our grandfather, grandpa, grandma, mother, father. But their bodies changes, 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 and then one day the body is finished. They die. Just like a flower in the morning is blooming, evening it is dried up. Similarly, people when they are young, small children, they look very cute. As they get older and older and older, the jet black hair becomes white, and the body becomes wrinkled body. And all the tooth falls away and then they perish. So in this world, all the bodies are perishable and changeable. And in this world, there is duality, which means if you have sukh, you get dukkha. Like here, there is day and night. Similarly, happiness and distress, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor. Which means any object you get in this world that has duality, which means if you have your own car, it is wonderful, but then you have to put air in the tire, water in the radiator. You have to put petrol in the car, you have to take it to garage for repair, you have to take a hose pipe and wash the car, all these laborious things you have to do. Imagine if you just take call for Uber or Ola, you don't have to do all this. Just throw some money and they will take you from place to place. But then you may say, but to have our own car is wonderful, you may say, yes, you have to pay the price. And that is called duality. Duality means having a car is comfortable, but it involves headache. Having own house is comfortable, but maintaining the own house is a headache also. Isn't it? Similarly, why do you think people marry? To become happy. Correct, no? Therefore, why do you think people want to go abroad to earn reputation, fame, money, to become happy? But then you will find that, a man marries to become happy, but after marriage, sometimes people enter into a quarrelsome relationship, expectations are not fulfilled, problems are there. So therefore, you will find that there is happiness in family life, there is some distress also. There is pleasure, there is pain. To have a child, is it wonderful or not? Many parents say that, after marriage, 5 years, we don't have a child. But then when the child comes, they are very happy. But when the child grows beyond 13, 14, 15, and doesn't listen to them, they become unhappy again. So that is duality. Thirdly, all worldly things are relative in this world. Relative means what? You have one mobile now. And you think, this is the best mobile I have. I'm very happy. But after a week or two, you see someone else having another mobile with better facility. Then you want that mobile. Or you have another person having another car which has better looks, better facilities, better speed. You want that. So relative means in this world, we keep on hankering for better, 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 better. It's endless here in this world. But you compare these three. I have given one acrosis here, cat-dog race, you can remember. C for changeable and perishable. And D for duality. R for relative. C, D, R. But cat dog race can easily remember. Changeable, perishable, duality and relative. But if you see Krishna, in the spiritual world, our relationship with Krishna is not changeable and perishable. It is everlasting. The covered boys, covered girls, cows, calves, they will live with Krishna for all time to come. And similarly, in the spiritual world, there is no sukh dukh. There is only ocean of bliss. Everlasting happiness there. There is no pain at all there. No old age, no disease. Similarly, as far as Krishna is concerned, he is asamavardhva. There is nobody equal to him, nobody greater than him. Which means there is nothing relative about Krishna. If Krishna is all beautiful, like in this world there is Lakpati, Karudapati, Arapati, Karapati, but Krishna is Lakshmipati. Can somebody be more richer than Krishna? Is there anything more than Lakshmi that they can possess? Lakshmi herself is with him. So he is Lakshmipati. In the same manner, in all the six opulences is full. Therefore, once you get Krishna, you will not hanker for anybody else beyond that. You will be completely satisfied. So in this way we can prove it systematically that attaining God and engaging in eternal service gives the everlasting happiness. Here it is mentioned, please read that. How
a Krishna conscious person transcends all attachment and aversion.
Yeah.
He may appear to be on a sensual plane, but he has no attachment to sensual activities.
For example, a devotee also is living in the city, he is going in the car, you know, he is having a laptop, he may also be having, you know, he may be using all the equipments, projector and everything. He may also be appearing to be flying in planes, like Prabhupada did. So people may think, hey, you are monks, you guys, how are you using all these facilities? We are using, but we use it only for Krishna's service. We don't use it for sense gratification. So he may appear to be using something on a sensual platform, but he's using it all for Lord's service. He doesn't use it for his own personal enjoyment. Yeah, go ahead.
He is only concerned with the satisfaction of Krishna and nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
If Krishna wants, one can do anything ordinarily undesirable.
For example, fighting a battle is undesirable. Arjuna didn't like it. Arjuna said, why should I fight and kill so many people? But Krishna said, it's a dharma yuddha. So for Krishna's sake, Arjuna fought. In this way, even though it was undesirable by him, he still did that. Go ahead.
If Krishna does not want, one shall not do that which he would have ordinarily done for his own satisfaction.
There are so many people having so many desires in this world. People say, I want to watch that movie, I want to join that party, I want to eat the chicken fry, I want to, you know, I want to roam around with some member of the opposite sex. You will see that people have so many desires. But when a devotee comes to Krishna consciousness, he gives up whatever pleasure he used to derive before for the sake of sense gratification, and he will give up. He will only do things in alignment with Krishna. Yes. Go ahead.
On what strength does a devotee achieve this exalted consciousness? This consciousness is the causeless mercy of the Lord, which the devotee can achieve in spite of his being attached to the sensual platform.
Yeah, Krishna, like here, Dhruva was attached to the sensual platform of getting a kingdom, big kingdom. But he transcended it by the touch of Lord Vishnu. Yeah, result of achieving the causeless mercy, what happens? Three things.
Complete satisfaction of senses and consciousness.
In this world, you will get complete satisfaction, even in this world. See, don't think Karodapatis are completely satisfied. They themselves are burning. Like one seventh richest man in the world was interviewed. They asked him, can you say your goal of life in one word? He said, more, he said. They asked, what more? He said, I have to keep on endeavoring for more, otherwise I can't maintain my position, he said. So people always remain greedy. Yeah, go ahead.
Threefold miseries exist no longer.
Yeah, Adhyatmika, Adhibhautika, Adhavika, yeah.
Intelligence is soon well established.
Yes. Yeah, next.
Krishna conscious person is full because the Lord fulfills all his material necessities, therefore he is always full like the ocean.
Yeah, a Krishna conscious devotee in this world doesn't hanker for anything. You know, at the same time, Krishna keeps his devotees very happy. He provides for the prasad, accommodation, he takes care of all their material needs even without their asking them. Devotee's focus is on how to please Krishna more and more, and Krishna's focus is on how to take care of the devotee. They mutually try to, you know, please each other without thinking about their own pleasure. Go ahead.
Proof of a Krishna conscious man. Lost all inclination for sense gratification, although desires are present. He is steady like the ocean because he remains satisfied in transcendental loving service and thus achieves real peace. He enjoys full peace. On the contrary, bhakti, fruitive workers, mukti, salvationists, and siddhikami, yogis never attain peace.
Like the below fellow, you see his eyes, which shows he is chasing for romance. So you find like this, bhakti, mukti, siddhikami, sakale, ashant. They don't have any peace. So now we are running out of time. But one last thing I wanted to tell you is, I told you the lenient Lord. Why I am calling him as lenient? Not only he has provided for all our needs in this world to practice Krishna consciousness, he is allowing us to practice at our pace. Like here you see, Prabhupada's explanation, the right second column you can see. Bhakti or pure stage of love is the highest. Where one offers one's mind, intelligence, body, everything to Krishna, like Srila Prabhupada's picture. And Krishna says, if you can't do that, he says that, do Abhyasa Yoga. Chant 16 rounds of Hare Krishna and follow the four regulative principles. No gambling, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex. You follow that. And then, like this devotee is chanting here, and that devotee is worshipping the deity, and that one devotee is distributing books. You do this type of Abhyasa Yoga, which all ISKCON devotees do. That's the second thing. Shuddha Bhakti is too high. The Shuddha Bhakta's platform is very high. So before we reach that, we are doing Abhyasa Yoga. And then he says, if you cannot do that, you have big factories, you are very busy, no problem. He says, from the factory, you are earning a lot of money. So become a donor, well-wisher, and then help in building Krishna's temple, help in distributing Prabhupada's books, help in distributing prasadam, help the preachers in reaching out the message to the masses. You can help. So you can work for Krishna. Prabhupada says, anybody who is assisting in Krishna's work will get the same benefits what the brahmachari sannyasis and other full-time workers get, because you are assisting Krishna's work, you also get the same benefit, Prabhupada says. And then, if you cannot do that, say for example, you are in your family, people are opposed to giving donations to Krishna's service, they don't like anything religious, they are atheistic, they are opposing. Krishna says, at least you don't enjoy the frills or the extra money that you get. You give it off to some good work. Like here you are seeing some orphanage or something like that. One should give away. One should not keep the money for oneself, because that money will hurt you. You will misuse that money, he says. And then in this way, if one cannot do Krishna consciousness, better to cultivate at least jnana. If you cannot be a bhakta, at least to start cultivating jnana by studying Bhagavad Gita. And then better than jnana is, after cultivating the jnana, one should come to the point of seeing the super soul in the heart, like the yogi you see. If one cannot do such meditation on the super soul, and you cannot do jnana, you cannot do dhyana, nothing you are able to do, okay, at least do some prescribed work for some good cause. And at least renounce what you have, like here you see that family is giving away some gifts to the orphanage children or whatever like that. In this way, Krishna gives various steps, I am telling you. Therefore, I call Krishna as lenient. And I also call him as lenient for various reasons. Some more reason. Why we call him lenient? If you read the 9th chapter, you will see. Krishna says, I don't ask any big things of you, Arjuna. My devotees can offer me even patram, pushpam, phalam, toyam. They can offer me a flower or a fruit or a little water or milk. The commodity is not very important. Love is important. If they offer me with bhakti, even a poor man can offer these things to me. Krishna doesn't say, I am Lakshmipati, you should at least be Crorepati. He doesn't say that. He says, you can be a penniless beggar like Sudama Brahmana. So that is one of his lenience. Another lenience is, while practicing Bhakti Yoga, if a devotee commits mistake, Krishna says, Abhichet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mam Ananyabhak Sadureva Samantavya Samyak Bhavasito Hisaha. He says, my devotees are so good, Arjuna, that when they commit some blunders in the path of bhakti, they cry piteously, they repent, they fall at my feet, and they promise that they will never commit it again. And in their tears of remorse and repentance, all their sinful reactions are washed away. I forgive them. And again they become reinstated in bhakti as before, very sincerely and seriously. As he says. So therefore, Krishna is ready to forgive us. He knows we are like toddlers. A mother, when a baby is a toddler, mother gives her hand to catch so that she can lead the child endeavoring to walk. Mother will not like to see the child falling on the ground and clapping hands, say, you fell down. Mother is very kind. Same with Krishna also. He is willing to pick up the fallen devotee again and bring him on the right path again. He is very merciful. Machitta sarva durgani mat prasada attarishyasi atachetva mahankaram nashroshyasi vinangshasi. He says, Arjuna, machitta sarva durgani. Those who are fixed in devotion to me, Arjuna, all kinds of obstacles in their life, they can cross over very easily. Mat prasadat tarishyasi. By my mercy, they can cross over. He says like that. So he is ready to give mercy to his devotees. Dadami buddhi yogantam. He says, I give the knowledge to my devotees. Yena mam payantite, by which they can come back to me. Somebody may say, if I cannot read the Vedic literature, because I am illiterate, I only put my imprint of my thumb. I don't know any language. Even I cannot read one akshara also, one letter also. What to do? Krishna says, don't worry. He says that, Teshame vanukampartamaham ajnanajam tamaham nashayam yatmabhavasto jnana deepena basvata. Residing in the heart of my devotee, I will lit up the dark heart with torchlight of knowledge. That means I will give knowledge to such devotees, illiterate devotees, in their heart. And by once that knowledge awakens, they get bhakti for me, and they will easily progress. And they will be more enlightened than Chaturvedis also, great scholars also. Because I give them the knowledge from within the heart, he says. In this way, there is no restriction for my devotees to come back to me. Then somebody may say, but I am only a woman, I am a housewife, you know, and I am very preoccupied with caring for my children and husband and in-laws. How can somebody like me come back to you, Krishna? Like Kunti Maharani said, Kadam Pashya Mahistriya. How can an ordinary woman like me can understand? You are a property of great rishis and munis. But then Krishna said, no. Mam hipartha vipashritya epistyu papa yonayaha striyo vaishyastata shudraste apiyanti paramgatim. He says that even if you are a businessman counting money, even if you are a housewife, you have so many household chores to do, and even if one has never gone to the Gurukula and taken the training or sanskaras in his life, anybody, what to speak of four categories of people, Brahmachatra, Vaishyashudra, even Chandalas, even Mlechas, even Javanas, even dog eaters and cow flesh eaters, if they are inclined to devotional service offered by a pure devotee like Prabhupada or Narada, even they can come to my bhakti. And then Krishna said, what to speak of humans? Even animals and birds have become great devotees, like Jatayu, or Hanuman, or Gajendra. Even they have awakened bhakti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Jharikhanda forest danced and sang Hare Krishna mantra and made the tigers and deers catch hands and dance together. He made the elephants chant the holy name also by sprinkling water on them. In this way Krishna says that even animals and birds have become pure devotees and come back to my abode. So there is no limitation, there are no material impediments for coming back to me. He says like that. So in this way the bhakti path, he has made it extremely easy and very easy to practice. There is one song in Braja which is very popular, which people sing, and this comes to me in my mind. This song talks about four ladies who attracted Krishna, and because of their pure devotion. Kaun kahte hain Bhagavan kate nahi, Ber shabari ke jaise kilate nahi, Kaun kahte hain Bhagavan aate nahi, Draupadi ke jaise hum bulate nahi, Kaun kahte hain Bhagavan sote nahi, Maa Yashoda ke jaise sulate nahi, Kaun kahte hain Bhagavan nachte nahi, Gopiyon ke jaise hum nachate nahi, Krishna Govinda Gopal gaate chalo, Man ko vishayon se vish se hataate chalo. See, this song talks about four great devotee ladies. Kaun kahte hain Bhagavan aate nahi? Who said Lord doesn't come when you call him? Call like Draupadi, Lord will come. Hey Govinda, hey Gopichanvalabha, hey Dwarakavasin. With great desperation, then Krishna appeared there. And who said Krishna will not sleep if you put him to sleep? Yashoda put him in a very chandan palna, in a cradle, and told nice bedtime stories and put him to sleep, and he went to sleep. And who said Krishna will not eat if you give him? Like when Lord Rama came, Shabari gave bitten fruits which she found very tasty, and Rama ate it. And who said Lord cannot be made to sing and dance? The elderly gopis, friends of Yashoda, made a circle and put Krishna in the middle and made him sing and dance, and they gave him laddu and Mysore pak and makan and sugar, everything. And Krishna happily danced and sang to please them. So he became like a play toy in their hands. In this way, anybody can attain Krishna very easily. He's a very lenient Lord. Therefore, I gave the heading, Logical Laws of Lenient Lord. Now, let's take some questions now. Anil Bhu from Pennsylvania is asking, do the Ashtasakhis in Golok Vrindavan expand as Ashtalakshmis in the material planets? Also, is Goddess Durga a post similar to Brahma and Indra? Okay. I have not heard about the Ashtasakhis expanding as Ashtalakshmis. Ashtalakshmis, each of them offer different material benedictions in the material world. They all will be expansions of the chief Lakshmi, who is consort of Lord Narayana. And originally Radharani is the original Shakti, and from her comes Dwaraka queens, and many of the prominent gopis in Vrindavan, and also Lakshmi. And Durga is not opposed. Durga is a direct expansion of Lord Shiva. She is half the body of Shiva, other than Arishwar you have seen. So Durga is not opposed. Durga is actually a Shakti of Shiva. Just as Shiva is not a Jiva, similarly Durga is also not a Jiva. Durga is called Mahamaya. In the spiritual world, her form is the Subhadra form. In the material world, she expands from Subhadra, and then she becomes... Subhadra is Krishna's sister. In the same manner, Durga is also Krishna's sister. And Shiva and Parvati are the half-half. So it's not opposed. Okay, Jivanpur is asking, as most of the students staying at home, slowly we are losing first years, whom we had preached, and also even Nakul group devotees, they are not even attending our calls. Any help we can do, do to them now. You see one thing, when we are preaching to the students, and they have to be, bhakti is actually a purely inspirational process. Spirituality, how much to seriously take it? If some jivas are not serious, probably they need more time. They may need more lifetimes. Just like, for example, when I joined an IIT, some other boys also joined, masters. So a couple of years, you can finish your master and emerge, come out with your degree, and then take up a job. But some of them who came to IIT, they would go to this hotel, that hotel, they will go to play in this ground, that ground. They would join different clubs and they were doing different activities. They never studied. And they failed in the papers repeatedly. There are some who don't pass out of IIT BTECs. Instead of 4 years, they may be there for 7 or 8 years and they will be given an NFT, not fit for technical education. It has happened. So the purpose for which they came to IIT, they forgot. In the same manner, if some students, they might have come for the classes in the beginning and now they might have gone home and become interested in Maya. They must have got carried away also, likely. So my suggestion would be that you try your best. And then once you can call, twice or thrice. After that, if they are not showing interest, what to do? You can only pray to Krishna that let this jiva again return back to Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people, when they have all facilities, comfort, luxuries, they forget God. When they get some punch on the nose, they come running after that. Then they wake up after that. So they will have that turn. When they face such challenges, they may come back to devotees again. And then they may consult and then they may slowly wake up and then may become more serious in bhakti and go back to Godhead. I am a lecturer in college in Mumbai teaching to business management students. And I am inspired by ISKCON and started chanting and visiting temple. During my lectures, I advised the students to chant and visit temple. College management didn't like this and they said that they don't like me teaching students like this. I tried to convince management but they said not to spread any religious information. Please help me how to proceed further. Harshad Prabhu is asking. Good question. See, Harshad Prabhu, what is the problem of the management? I will tell you. Management leaders, even though they may be even good souls sometimes, they are very afraid of other problems which may crop up. For example, in your class, there may be some Christians, there may be some Muslims, there may be some different religious people also. Some of them are very open and broad-minded. Even when you say, go to the temple, chant Hare Krishna, they may not mind it. But there are some people who are quarrelsome in every religion, whether it be Hindu, Muslim or Christian. Every religion, there are good souls. There are problem-creating souls. So then those boys may go and complain to management and say that why this sir is bringing religion into the class. They will not like it. So one of the things, you as a professor, a teacher, what you can do, nowadays it's very easy to connect with people through giving some kind of, YouTube lectures, links, that kind of thing they can easily catch. Give them something according to the level. Like I teach very basic lectures beginning with Discover Yourself. If you go to www.dys.radheshyamdas.com. DYS stands for Discover Yourself. So if you give this, they'll click and they'll go there. And you can just say this, that, and that too you can't announce it in the class. In the class, if you speak some favorable things, like you are a management, business management student, I have something for management students. You can see leadersvoiceindia.com. Leadersvoiceindia.com. So you go there, you will find something interesting for management students, which is like secular. And if you show that, nobody may mind it. But then once they come to that and they develop some interest, they may come and ask you more. Then you can give them www.dys.radheshyamdas, you can give that. So these are things which I am contributing. In the same manner, in Mumbai temple also there are other devotees. You can go and meet them and take some links or YouTube links. Then you can give it interested voice. And also if you tell the students that you will be taking some classes near the college or in the outside the college hours, if any of you wish to join, voluntarily you are welcome. Then nobody will mind it. But when you speak in your lecture that ISKCON is very good, all of you go there, take prasad there, take darshan, please take a copy of Bhagavad Gita and chant Hare Krishna, then they say, oh, you are promoting religion. Like I go to Hyderabad Infosys. So three times I have been there. And they have been welcoming again. Similarly, Bank of America, I have been 3-4 times. So why they welcome, I will tell you. Because I speak the subject. I even quote from Mahabharata, Ramayana, Chanakya Niti, everything I quote. But I don't push anyone for anything. I finish the lectures and I tell them, all of you are welcome. You know, and they know me. My name is Radheshyamdas. They can go to my YouTube. They can get some lectures. People will know. And the management likes it because even the people of other religions, they join the lectures when I give. And I give topics like, like correcting without hurting. That was one topic, yeah? Art of smart work, or topics like stress to smile. But along with those topics, I give, and I also tell them, when I tell about chanting, I tell them, if you are a Christian, you can chant Hail Mary. If you are a Muslim, you can chant Namaz. And if you are a Buddhist, you can chant Namu Abudabutsu. They have a mantra also. So I tell them that religion is no bar at all. Ultimately, whichever religious denomination you belong to, you read your sacred texts. Ultimately, capital G-O-D is only one person, God. Like the sun, you can call him as Dinakar, Bhaskar, Surya, Ravi, so many names. Similarly, God is only one. So then nobody will mind. Otherwise, people will say that you are promoting Hindu religion, they will say. So we can avoid that. Okay. Matra sasra duhitrava napivikthasana bhavet balavanindriyagrama vidvamsamapikarshati. Okay. But practically many times when my father goes to office and I have to stay with my mother at home, and this is going from my childhood, what does this verse exactly mean in today's context? Oh, actually mother is very worshipable, lovable, and the relationship is very sacred with the mother. What is the point of this verse? What it says, that the mother, sister, daughter, these are all prakriti. Prakriti means they are in a woman's body. So one should know how to deal with them. For example, mother, father, you bow down to them, you touch their feet. Similarly, for a sister, you are like a father. If you have a younger sister, you are like a second father for her, which means if your father becomes very elderly and your sister has to be married, so you are like a father for her. So similarly, if your daughter, you are also father. So the relationship with the daughter is a very sacred one also. Like you will see, Swayambhava Manu, when he is giving his daughter in marriage to Kardama Muni, you know, he is giving gold, silver, all those things. Now he is about to leave the forest. That time he is embracing his daughter and smelling her head, and tears are pouring from his eyes, you know, falling on the head of his daughter. And he is calling her as Ambe. Vatsa. Ambe. Two words he uses. Ambe means, oh mother. That means even a daughter is called Amma. Sister is called Amma. Vama, Poma, like that we call like that. Similarly, mother also called Amma. Amma means mother. So, woman's body, if somebody is woman's body, we call them as mother only. But at the same time, due to the man's lusty propensity, sometimes, especially when a person is in a particular age between 16 to 25 or 16 to 30 like that, due to the agitation that one feels in the mind, sometimes it has been seen that one goes to the point of mistreating the mother or mistreating sister foolishly, or embracing them in an improper way. There is a good embrace and there is a bad embrace. Even a small child also can easily detect it. So small children nowadays taught not to be abused by anybody. If somebody touches their buttocks behind or somebody touches their chest, immediately children will complain. Children are trained nowadays. So one should know that in case one's lust is prominent and one doesn't get a vent out for that, sometimes one may try to misbehave with the mother or sister due to curiosity to misbehave like that, which doesn't happen in cultured families. It will not happen. But if a family doesn't have proper training, father is a drunkard, and sons and daughters are also unruly, then such things may happen. So there is a warning given here that one should, like for example, brother, he may play, he may climb on some your brother's back, he may climb on your back, he may climb on shoulder. But with mother, sister, daughter and all, such kind of intimate dealing should not be done because they are in another body, which is a female body. Therefore, the warning is given in this verse that our senses are strong and impetuous, and one should, in the name of being intimate, one should not deal with them in an improper way. That's the main learning here from this Bhagavatam verse. Yeah. Actually, you may be at home, mother is at home, sister is at home, but you don't have any bad thought because mother is like Lakshmi for a son. Like Lakshmi is actually like goddess. So for all of us, our mother is like a goddess only for us. She begot us, she has given us breast milk, she has raised us from our infancy, and our body is born from her womb. And even brother, sister, mother, they are all worshipable in our Indian context, especially in the Vedic context. They are worshipable. But those who cannot consider so, those who have a lusty mindset, crazy mindset, they have to be more warned not to misbehave. Shubham Prabhu, Humana is asking, isn't Bhaktisar Swami Maharaj is struggling so much against life? He got heart attack, he got corona, he followed pure devotion service to Lord. The Lord should not give such pain as he followed Lord's law in the best manner. Why this happened? How to understand this? Sorry for asking such a weird question. Not a weird question, it's a good question, proper question. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there are three levels of devotees. One is a neophyte devotee. A neophyte devotee, many times, even after coming to devotion service, we may quarrel with other devotees, we may sometimes do blunders in devotion service, and we may suffer. That's a neophyte devotee, isn't it? Now, there are devotees who are advanced in devotion service for several years. Say they come to the Madhyama platform. There is Kanishta, Madhyama, Uttama. So in the Madhyama platform, the devotees' sufferings are all actually taken away by Krishna. It's called Kleshagni. Kleshagni means Krishna destroys the suffering by taking away the reactions. So he does not allow them to suffer the reactions at all for a seriously practicing devotee. But he doesn't destroy it, he keeps with him. And if Krishna finds that if a Madhyamadhikari is also misusing his free will, then he may give some of the reaction for him. But those who are Uttamadhikaris, those who are gurus, those who are sannyasis, they are very, very exalted. And if you find them undergoing some suffering, Prabhupada explains that is, Prabhupada, in his times he said, the disciples of a guru should be very careful, of any guru, should be very careful because they are not following sometimes the regulative principles and sometimes deviating from the path of Krishna consciousness and adopting wrong paths and things like that. Their sin will affect the guru also in the body. And Prabhupada said why? The reason he said, because guru makes a contract with Krishna that these souls I am initiating them and please Krishna accept them and they will never commit, they will never break the four aggregate principles, and they will chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds, everything. And then just like a guarantor, Guru becomes a guarantor in front of Krishna for those people. And if those people don't uphold the things, then part of their suffering will also be shared by the Guru. That is one reason given there. And another thing, in the Srimad Bhagavatam it is said that when pure devotees suffer, one should never consider it to be ordinary. Like Pandavas, their wife was insulted. You know, they were put in Varanavat Lakshagara to be burned alive. They were driven away to the forest by a cheating gambling match. And when they returned back, their kingdom was not given. Can somebody say that Pandavas suffered like this because they were adharmic? Or they committed sin? Can somebody say that? Prahlad suffered, you know, in the father's hands. And his father tried to kill him in varieties of ways. Can you say Prahlad committed any sin because of which he suffered? So the pure devotee's body, if it is seen to be suffering, it's absolutely not due to any sin. It is Lord's orchestration. And also, what is the state of the devotee's body, that we cannot understand. Now, because Maharaj is in ICU and undergoing treatment, you are thinking Maharaj is very terribly suffering, but he is a liberated soul. He is in a very, very exalted position. They are actually Dehendriya Prana Manodhyambu. There is one verse in Bhagavatam 11th Canto. They have transcended the body. They can reside in the body completely in remembrance of Krishna, due to which they don't feel the pangs of the material world. They can transcend it also. Tvadvirya gayana mahamrita magna chitta. Prahlad says, in your fond remembrance, Krishna, all the pains of samsara are evaporated for me. He says like that. It also, such pastimes are performed by Krishna sometimes, because all over the world now devotees are praying, devotees are remembering Maharaj at every moment. Even in Pune, we are all remembering him moment after moment, because he is very dear to all of us in Pune. Maharaj has been visiting once in a year. So, this actually intensifies devotees' remembrance of Lord Krishna as well as Maharaj. The feelings of separation and affection for him increases more, which will actually be purifying all the devotees who are participating in this. One should know that also. And also one more thing, we should know that in this world, as our bodies get older, it becomes 60, 70, 80, 90. So the body is actually gradually, the material senses of the body will deteriorate. Gradually, they become kshin. Whatever be the type of body, you may be devotee, you may not be devotee, but the difference is, a devotee's body, the gross body is apparently deteriorating, but his subtle body has become completely spiritualized, like iron rod put in fire, completely spiritualized. So therefore, such a devotee, when he leaves the body, he doesn't take one more body at all. This body is the last body for the devotee. And then after that, he ascends to spiritual world. So from that point of view, one should know that the material body is ultimately destined to be finished in this earth. And the subtle body is purified. So in subtle body, there is no more material desire. If material desire is there, you need one more body. If there is no material desire, no more body. Then the spirit soul goes back to Godhead. So if it is Krishna's decision now. If he wants to bring back Maharaj, and again we can see his smiling face and sweet talk, we will all be so happy. And we want him to live a very long life. But in case Krishna decides to take him, if that is his wish, we will do our kirtan, we will do our prayer. Ultimately, it is Krishna's will. Whatever he wishes, he may do. And either way, we will accept Krishna's decision. And this is actually a critical time in the next 2-3 days for Maharaj's treatment. So we should know that there are the topic about the sufferings is very deep topic, very thoroughly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read the 1.9, first canto of Bhagavatam, 9th chapter, Bhishma Pitama, speaking to Pandavas, you will get a lot of answers. You will get a lot of answers regarding this. Swapnil was asking, as per Jyotish, people are divided in today's Gan, Manav Gan, and Rakshas Gan. Okay, Dev Gan, Rakshas Gan, okay. Can all three Guna people be devotee, especially Rakshas Gan? Oh, yes. Those who are Rakshas Gan, when they come to devotion service, they will be aggressively devotees. They will pursue devotion service with very great vigor. Those who may have Rakshas Gan in them, they will be Veera Bhaktas. It's possible in devotion service. And not only that, as they continue devotion service, tamogun, rajogun, sattogun, everything will evaporate and they will go to the Vishuddha Sattva eventually. Archana Maharaj is asking, why wife or woman only increases attachment? Why not men? Purports of certain verses in Bhagavatam we find. Srila Prabhupada clearly says that even in the higher planets, woman is less intelligent. Give examples of Uma. So how can we have Diksha Gurus in ISKCON? If Prabhupada wanted, he could have made one of the Ritvik Guruni, but he didn't. May I explain? Okay. Actually, Diksha Gurus are not made amongst women yet. It is still the talk going on. Although there was almost a decision made, it was not finalized now. Actually, the Western people are saying that in the Western world, there is a need for female gurus also, because in America, all other organizations have female gurus and we don't have, and that's causing a lot of problem in Western preaching because their culture is different. So they were asking just to make one or two of them so that Western people will be satisfied. For that they wanted, but the talk is still going on. It's not yet finalized. It's a very big matter GBC is handling. We are just waiting to see them make decision. And besides that, when Prabhupada says women are less intelligent, the meaning is they are less discriminative. Otherwise, the Shraddha that women have in Krishna is far greater than the men's Shraddha, faith. Prabhupada says that women have very simple heart and natural faith. They take to bhakti path more easily than men. And men have rationality, women have emotional. So the emotion is very great advantage in the path of bhakti to increase one's respect and worship and faith and commitment and dedication to Lord. At the same time, the men's rationality can be used for learning the philosophy and reason to understand the truth deeply before one surrenders. Ramesh was asking, chanting and eating non-Ekadashi Prasad or eating Ekadashi Prasad and no chanting, what is best? Better and one, you know, actually on Ekadashi day you can reduce eating and reduce sleeping, reduce all other activities and chant more rounds. That is best. Yeah, tomorrow is Ekadashi. Yeah. Abhishek was asking, in Gita Mahatmya and many other places we see that if one is rectifying, even one shloka, one is reciting, even one shloka of Gita, we can attain perfection of our life. But many other places like Bharat Maharaj, even one single mistake can make you fall down. The things makes fearful to me how to overcome this. Actually, there are many benefits given, but you have to very carefully read them. Like if you recite one shloka of Gita, your path back to Godhead has already begun. That's the meaning of that. But Bharat Maharaj actually, he's falling down, is a very special case. You can't call it a fall down because he didn't return home again. He didn't stay with his wife and children and rule the kingdom. He remained in the forest. I mean, he became a deer in the next life. So that is not considered a serious fall down. But in even the deer's body, he remembered the devotional service. He left that Kalanjara mountains and went to Palaharshrama to associate with saintly people, ate dry grass, performed austerities, even in deer's body. That means the bhakti remained intact. That should be appreciated. So you be careful, Abhishek Prabhu, by reading the Bharat Maharaj pastime. So if you are very careful and alert in spiritual life, you will never fall down. You will go back to Godhead. Snehil Agarhari is asking, how can one lose inclination for sinner education even though the desire is there? What is the difference between inclination and desire? Yeah, actually inclination means kutam, desire means bijam. That's the main difference. Actually, this desire, I mean, is not something which will go away very fast. You keep on chanting, performing devotion service, gradually devotion service will burn it away. It takes time, you have to be patient. Yeah, how many more? Only two more. Okay, how to conquer the habit of day sleep? Although I make schedules for daily, but after the morning program and having breakfast, I feel very tired and forced to go to bed. Okay, don't sleep. Even when I forcefully, if I try to push myself, but that doesn't make me efficient to work. Okay, you can take a small nap, we call power nap. So maybe 10 minutes, you can stretch your hands, legs, move your body this way, that way, and then you can, 10-15 minutes, then you can get up. Don't put on a very fastly moving fan. Don't put that. So take a small power nap and you can get up again and do. Because morning program is a long stretch, you may be a little tired. It's not wrong to lie down for 10-15 minutes and then get up. But don't go to a 2-hour sleep. Manoj was asking last question. What is the shape of the soul? Is it like small lamp or like a human body shape or shapeless? And what is the shape of the super soul? Actually, super soul is like Vishnu. Chaturbhuja Roop, four hands. Shankh Chakra Gada Padma is carrying. Mukut Kundal, bluish complexion, golden dhoti. and his body is completely spiritual. And our form is also very similar. It may be a feminine form or a male type of form. And also in the spiritual world, we may have the body of a gopa or a gopi or a cow, whatever form. But when you come to material world, it is shrunk like a small seed. But then as soon as you begin doing chanting and deity worship and all these things, gradually the soul wakes up. His original form is similar to this form, but it is spiritual completely. It is not mundane, it is spiritual. That form is awakened. So just like super soul has a form of Vishnu, we also have a similar nice, beautiful spiritual form in the spiritual world as a gopa, gopi, or cows, calves, or parental relationship, or friend relationship, or servant relationship in the spiritual body. So spiritual body fully awakens. When you are fully blossomed, then all the anarthas, misgivings are gone, then we go back to Godhead. Thank you for your brilliant questions. Thank you.